My emotions broke forth in the second verse as I pondered who wrote this song. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercies, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell, for I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. This was written by Fanny Crosby back in the 1800s. Fanny Crosby, when she was 3, was blinded by an accident by the doctor. She had an eye infection, and he put the wrong medicine on her eyes, and it burned her eyes up. From the age of 3 years old until the day she died, and she died in her 80s, she never saw anything. When she was a young girl, though, 13, 14, 15, she came to Christ. Amazingly enough, her sight got renewed right then. She saw the Lord. Listen to her words in that context. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? I could ask for my eyes. Surely that would be a reasonable thing. I like to keep my eyes as long as I can. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercies, or who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell, for I know whatever before me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread. Did you know that in her later days, she had become so famous that pastors and churches would call her to come and just read some of her hymns or sing some of her hymns or songs, give her testimony. Hundreds and thousands came to the Lord on that tour of many, many churches as they'd carry this old blind woman, and she'd stand up and tell her story of the glories of her King who saved her and delivered her, and it could be said who opened her eyes to see him. What a gloriously wonderful thing. What a gloriously wonderful thing. I didn't mean to start off with that. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3 this morning. And by the way, classes may be dismissed. We've just sung a song. If you want to be dismissed, if you all stay, you can stay. But they're going to have classes. Those folks have prepared for y'all to come and visit them. Man, it's a fairly major exodus. We're going to have to pray some bodies in this place. Go outside Lenore and beckon them to come in. Tell them to come in. But welcome. Happy New Year to y'all as we look at this last day of the year, the last Sunday of the year. Last Sunday of the year. May 2024 find us full of faith and full of assurance in Christ Jesus our Lord. My verse this morning is going to be from John 14:19, but we'll get to it here in a minute, but I want to go ahead and just read it to you because it's a beautiful verse. It's a verse that says so much to us. It says so much to us. It says, a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. And then it ends with this little snippet. It says, because I live, you shall live also. That'll be the focus of our thoughts this morning. But let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. I'd like to read the entirety of Colossians chapter 3 to you. It sort of goes along with the message. It could be considered foundational to the message. So y'all listen to me. If you have your Bibles, open there. Colossians chapter 3. And I'm speaking from the old King James, so y'all just have to put up with it as best you can. When I was a boy, that's all I ever read. As a young adult, that's all I ever memorized. And then I became a preacher, and that's all I ever preached from. And then I got introduced to the New American Standard and to the NIV and to the ESV, and we're going to have 14 or 15 more probably before I die in 2050 at the age of 98. Y'all got a lot of time to put up with me for a long time yet, okay? Colossians chapter 3 says this, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That almost sounds like the verse I read in John 14. Because I live, you shall live also. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which lie upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For these things' sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put all these away, put away all these things, anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all this in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that the Lord of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done, and there's no respect of persons. That's with all of my failings, the reading of Colossians 3. And that sort of sets forth before us my verse this morning. It starts like this in John 14, 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. And we sort of have to set the stage for when these words were said. Yet a little while, and the world is not going to see me anymore. This is the last week of our Lord's life. This is probably Monday or Tuesday before he goes to the cross at the end of the week and is raised from the dead on Sunday. So he's a week out of the resurrection right now. And he looks at his disciples and says, the world shortly is not going to see me anymore. And then I pondered upon my heart and mind, how long did they see him? I would venture to guess that the length of time that the world saw our Lord was 3 years. He started his ministry when he was about 30, and he was crucified when he was 33. So for 3 years, he put his mark down. And oh, what a mark he put out. Oh, what a mark he put out. Me too, I'm hot. You don't have a flash. I've got medicine in me that flashes me. I don't like getting medicine either. Oh, what a mark that man made. The Lord Jesus made. 3 years, if you look at how much in time that represents, if you look at 2,000 years versus the 3 years, that's how long it's been since his resurrection, that would be 0.001 in time. But if you look at the whole history, if you're a young earth creationist like I am, And you don't have to be a young earth creationist. I am, but you don't have to be that. I'd encourage you to look that up. But anyway, the whole history of mankind is about 6,000 years. Adam was created somewhere akin to about 6,000 years ago. If you look at the whole thing, his time upon the earth is 0.0001. He was here for such a short period of time. And yet, what did he do? He turned the world upside down. You had to love him or you had to hate him. That's the way the world looked upon him. The very last verse in the Gospel of John, let me turn to it, says these words. How long was he there? 3 years in public ministry. How long was that? How far did he range out? I don't believe during his earthly ministry he ever got out of Palestine. He never got out of the nation of Israel. He spoke about others, but he never went there. It was very local. So all of you young people, as you're growing up and you want a fancy car, our Lord walked everywhere he went. And I'm no better than my Lord. If he is to take away all of our ability to be fluid in our nation, we'd all grieve our hearts out. But our Lord walked everywhere he went. He was confined to a very narrow space. Listen to what John wrote. And there are also many other things he's written this gospel. It's 21 chapters long. And the Lord Jesus did many other things, the which, if they were written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And very honestly, there's been many, 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 many thousands of books written about our Lord Jesus Christ. In 3 years, he says to his disciples, the world is not going to see me anymore. But he doesn't stop there. It says something else after that. It says, but you see me. But you see me. You see me, I think, encompasses everyone who's ever believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You see me. I could confess that I have seen the Lord, but I haven't seen him with these eyes. I've seen him with the eyes of my soul. I've seen him with the eyes of faith. I could remember very well the day when the Lord opened my eyes to see him. I was 16, just 55 years ago. He opened my eyes to see him, and I would share with you that it's been a gloriously wonderful ride ever since. I have enjoyed and blessed the Lord for him opening my eyes. We see him today, but we see him through eyes of faith. Through eyes of faith. We'll never lose sight of that. We see him through eyes of faith. But he doesn't just stop there. He says, but you see me. Then he puts a little addendum to this right here that I think is one of the most beautiful portions of all the Word of God. For he says unto us, because I live, these are his words, because I live, you shall live also. Because I live, you shall live also. My brothers and sisters, we have life in Jesus Christ the Lord. I'll probably say a funny here in the fact that Bill Gaither made millions of dollars off of that verse right there. Put his name on the map. He wrote that old song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, my life is worth the living. Just because he lives. Because he lives, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we live also. We live also. We have seen the Lord just as they said. Because he lives, we have seen the Lord. And we have the rest of our life, however how long the life gives. But we have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. That was the declaration of Mary. That was the declaration of those that saw the risen Savior. But it's our declaration too. It's our declaration too. Listen, hold on to it. Make it a part of your lives. I live because he lived. I live because he lives. He has opened our eyes to see him. And what a gloriously wonderful thing. Faith is that thing that moves us in that direction. Never think that we live in this world by feelings. Never think we live in this world by works. Never think that we live in this world by ceremonies or the thing. We have ceremonies here. But never think of it as that. We live because he lives. We live because he lives. He lives because he sets forth before us in here, and I'm going to look at it under two headings. And the first heading is this, that our life is preserved because he lives. And the second heading is that why? How is it preserved? So we want to look at it for just a moment. Our Lord's, the preservation of our lives, it could be said, because he lives, we live. We live. We live. You shall live, it says. And whatever living right there means, it's living to the fullness. Living to the fullness. He said to his disciples, I give unto you life. No, I don't give unto you life. I give unto you life abundantly. Abundantly. Now, I don't know that that describes my life all the time, but it should describe my life. It should describe your life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to live, and in Christ's own word, we're to live abundantly. Abundantly. Everything that that word life means right there is to be ours. It's to be ours. Everything about it is not in part. You shall live applies to all parts of our newborn nature. We're to live. We're to put off the things of this world and to love Jesus Christ our Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're to live. We're to live. Our Lord, it was said of him that not a bone of him was broken. That was forecast in the Psalms. Not a bone of the Lord shall be broken. And I want you to know, in Christ Jesus the Lord, we live in him. There's not going to be any marring of us. We won't barely make it to heaven. We're going to make it completely and undeniably because we live in Christ Jesus the Lord. Jesus lives in his people. He walks with us. He talks with us. Let me read to you for just a moment. Psalm 91. Now, this was quoted of our Lord, quoted about our Lord by the devil himself in Matthew chapter 3. This passage was quoted by him in the devil's temptation of our Lord. He said, just cast yourself down. Have you not read that the angels will bear you up? You'll not in any way dash your foot against a stone. Let me read the entirety of Psalm 91 to you. It's not a real long psalm. It's just 16 verses. It goes like this. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Guys, that's you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from noisome pestilence. Our Lord delivers us from all these things. And yet, I mean, Fanny Crosby went through practically her entire life blind. It's not a devastating thing to be blind. What's devastating is not to have life in Jesus Christ the Lord. He shall cover thee with his feathers. I don't really look at the Lord like he has feathers, but it's speaking about his wings. And under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at high noon. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh unto thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. The adder is a poisonous snake. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon thee, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Much of this right here is prophetic regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Much of what I've just read right there was prophetic in the life of the man David. But my brothers and sisters, we can apprehend our standing in living in Christ Jesus the Lord in these words right here. What does it mean? Because I live, you shall live also. That means that we have life in Jesus Christ the Lord. That means we have an indestructible life. Indestructible life. It says, because I live. Now, these are the words of the Lord. The Lord's saying these words. Because I live, you shall live also. How long does Jesus live? Forever. I don't know who said it, but you're right. He lives forever and ever and ever. Well, what's the application of the verse unto us? As his children, we're going to live forever and ever and ever. And those who believe upon me have everlasting life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We're blessedly kept. We're blessedly kept. We're blessedly indestructible because he lives, I shall live also. It's amazing to me. Then in the first century after our Lord was risen, ascended unto heaven, that first generation, and I would go on to say, and probably two or three or four generations after that, they got to see Grandpa do it. They got to see Great-Grandpa do it. A Roman soldier walk and knock up on the door, say, we're here for any Christians in the house. Are there any Christians here? Yes, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Right here I am. I volunteer. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will keep me. And they'd carry him out and crucify him. They'd carry him out and burn him at the stake. They'd carry him out and feed him to lions and tigers and bears and all the wild animals. He'd carry out and take them and kill them. And kill them. You know what that man believed when he volunteered that? Because Jesus lives, I live. I live. You know how Fanny Crosby wrote 8,000 hymns in her life? 8,000 poems, many of which have turned into hymns. You can't pick up a hymnal anywhere in the world that doesn't have a Fanny Crosby hymn in it. I could say that about others, but she's one of those too. You know how she could say that? Because she couldn't see. But her eyes, her spiritual eyes were open to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that took place, she could apprehend this verse right here as hers. If you're here this morning and you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your verse. Because he lives, I live also. I live also. You know, many times when things like this happen, it makes me think of a sign that's given. Noah was given a sign. A great and monumental event had taken place. The total destruction of the world. And the ark lands, and Noah sometimes later comes out of the ark, and God says to Noah, just so that you might know, this is a one-off event. This ain't going to happen again. This is only a one-time event. And so I'm going to give you a sign that this is a one-off event. Anybody want to tell me what that sign was? Rainbows. And rainbows. I love rainbows. How many of y'all? I love rainbows. I'll almost stop my car driving down the road if I get a real good look at a good rainbow. I've seen a couple of doubles in my lifetime, but they're beautiful. You know what they were? They were a sign of God's promise that the world is never going to be destroyed again by water. He's not going to do that again. He gave us a sign. He gave us a sign, I am. But you know that sign, I very seldom see a rainbow. I can't remember the last rainbow I've seen. I guess I'm in the house too much. I guess I just haven't seen a rainbow in a while. It's sort of a very occasional thing. Is that the way it is with y'all? Very seldom do I see a rainbow. I mean, once a month maybe, once every 6 months. I'd like to think I see more than one a year, but it's not very often. I don't see that rainbow. But that sign is there, is there. The Lord gave David a sign. When the Lord told David, now, David, down through history, there's not going to be a lack of one of your descendants sitting on the throne of David. Now, once again, that was a prophetic sign. He was speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ today is the son of David, the great king, and he sits on his throne. But he said, I'm going to give you a sign that you might know that that's the case. He said, as long as there is day and as long as there is night. How long is that, by the way? That's always, that's until the earth is no more. As long as there is day and as long as there is night, you shall have a son sitting on the throne, my throne. You shall have a son. Now, we can't hardly miss day and night. It's day outside right now. If y'all notice out the windows, you can sort of tell it's day outside. This morning when I woke up at 5:30 and my alarm rang, and it's always a slap in the face. Every time that wicked thing rings, slap that thing. Most often, though, I get right up. There have been occasions where I'll hit the snooze button, and then I think I hit it, and I didn't, and an hour and a half later, wake up. But as long as there's day and night, there'll be someone sitting on your throne, David. He gave him a sign. My brothers and sisters, our Lord has given us a greater sign, and it's a sign that should be before our eyes all the time. And that sign is because Jesus lives, I live also. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, because he lives, you live. You live. And so much of the Word of God would speak to the fact that it's indestructible. It's real. It's going to happen. Our Lord in John 10 spoke of it like this, where he says, my sheep, are you one of his sheep, by the way? My sheep, I'm one of his sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I give unto them, what? Everlasting life. I think it says eternal there, but I'll swap a word right there. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The gift of life that's ours is indestructible. The gift of life that's ours is enduring. The gift of life is ours is going to continue. You know, a lot of people say, well, what happens when I die? Well, your body is no longer operable. But your spirit is alive in Jesus Christ the Lord. You never lose the thought. The thought. I was reading a sermon one time. It says to think that death has anything to do with us when we die is like thinking a javelin can bring down the sky or a cloud. You throw a javelin up through a cloud. You know what the cloud does? It laughs at that javelin. It doesn't do anything to the cloud. They got this new commercial, and this is a men's cologne commercial now. They've got this gigantic champion. He looks like a gigantic German. He walks up, and he picks up an arrow. You might have seen it, and there's dark skies over it, and he shoots an arrow in the sky. And all of a sudden, there's bright sunshine right in behind it because he opened a hole in the sky. Ha, ha, ha. No, he did not. When we cross into the other side, our life will be more real than it is right now to us. Because he lives, we live also. Because he lives, our Lord calls us to recognize and to know that, and to know that. And it says somewhat incomprehensible. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price of all of our sins. How do we know he was successful? Someone tell me. Because of the resurrection, that's right. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, the conquering king, and he rose to die no more. He rose, the everlasting Son of God. That proves that our sins are no more. In Christ Jesus the Lord, our sins don't bear against us anymore. We don't have any sins. Our sins are gone. Because I know he holds the future, my sins are gone. In Christ Jesus the Lord, we live. We live. We live. Hallelujah. What a gloriously wonderful consideration is that verse. I think it'd be good for you to rehearse it in your life time and time and time and time again. Because he lives, I live. I live. But then we step to the next point. And the next point is our security. We believe here at Grace Baptist Church in the security of the saints. We believe that we're kept by our Lord. Though we fall, though we fail, though we stumble, the Lord will catch us and he keeps us. The Lord, we're secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of his everlasting life. We cannot die because he cannot die. He's the everlasting Lord. He's the King of heaven and earth. He's the one that all the angels prostrate before and cry before him, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Our Lord Jesus is worshipped in the heavens right now. And oh, may we worship him here in just a few moments as we come together and we sing unto him and lift our voices unto him. My brothers and sisters, this is the last day of the year. We can look back on 2023 and we can bemoan and groan and say, well, I wish this hadn't happened. Or we can have all kinds of thoughts regarding that year. But 2024 is right in front of us, whether we like it. And you know what we need to have before us? That because he lives, we live also. We live also. I'd like to beat it into my chest. I'd like to beat it into your mind. I like to beat it in your head that because he lives, that's our security. Our security. And that means our security is secure because he ever lives. Nothing can assail him. He's the indestructible Christ. And if you find yourself in him, you find yourself indestructible also. We live because he lives. And that's the only reason in this passage given, and that's the only reason that we need. That's the only reason. We live because he lives. It does not, some might say, well, what about me being a man of prayer? Well, I want you to know, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I would expect you to be a man of prayer. And some might say, well, what about good works? Well, I'd like to think that if you're a man of God, a woman of God here, that your life would be filled with good works. But none of those things are mentioned here in this passage. We're bound because of the very thing that we live because he lives. It's not because of what we do. We're not kept because of our actions. Our actions. We didn't do anything to get our salvation, and my brothers and sisters, we can't do anything to keep it. We don't do things to keep it. But our Lord Jesus Christ is our great security. He is the sole reason for us having everlasting life. What a gloriously wonderful thing. Give me just a moment. I'm going to read some notes from you right here. He's the sole reason. I'm not to find comfort in my own works. I may from these discover my decline, how declining I am. But if I want life to be renovated, I must fly where? If I want my life renovated, I fly to Christ. I go to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other fountain, no other place to go to, no other place found in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I would share with you that the fact that he says unto us, because I live, you should live also, that's sufficient. We don't need anything else. We might try for some other things, but we only need the reality that the Lord, if he lives, we cannot die. For he cannot die. Because he cannot die. His own declaration is that he gives unto his sheep everlasting life. And we're also called in the Word of God to be members of his body. We're spoken of as members of his body. Now, we've affectionately thought in days gone by, and even hear sermons every now and then where it says, well, you may be a toe and I might be a little pinky. You might be a hand or one might be a foot. The Lord's going to gather all his people together and it's going to be a perfect body. A perfect body. If our Lord Jesus loses one, say you're the lowest, the weakest, the toughest, the roughest, the meanest, the poorest, and you're one of his, you will not be lost. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to present his body as a perfect body. A perfect body. No stain, no blemish, no nothing. It's all going to be there. There's an old adage that says, you can't drown a man if you don't drown his head. Okay? The only way you can drown a man is to drown his head. If you throw somebody out in the water and they're treading in the water, you're not going to drown them. You've got to push their head underwater. But the head is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of his church. He's the head of his body. He never dies. He lives forever and ever. I'm trying my best to, don't do that. I'm trying my best to trip over that. Thank you. I'm trying my best. I learned some lessons down here when I'm down here. My brothers, a beautiful, beautiful adage. Say it with me. Because he lives, I live also. Let's try that again. Because he lives, I live also. Our Lord Jesus is our eternal Savior. He's the Savior of the world. He's the one who in 3 short years turned the world upside down. There's a Christian witness practically in every nation, all 167 of them. There's a Christian witness. Down through the ages, there have been billions of men who believed upon the Word of God, believed upon him. And they'll be there. They'll be there. There were many who were burned at the stake. There were many that were eaten by wild animals. There were many that were mocked and chained. There were many that were cut into pieces. Many of them were boiled in oil. And amazingly, many of them volunteered for this because they were ready to see their king. But they were safe because nothing that man can do to us is going to stop us from being his. And I want you to know that's to be the thought processes of our life. I don't want to be intimidated by those of our world. If you look at our world today, 2023 is ending right now. A lot of forecasts for 2024 are sort of bleak. I can quote, I think, Mike Huckabee, which Mike Huckabee is not necessarily a great prophet or anything like that. He gives us only 6 months into 2024 before everything breaks loose. That's all right. That's all right. That's all right. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter whether you're young when you die or whether you're middle-aged when you die, when you're old like me and you die. It doesn't matter. Because he lives, I shall live also. I shall live also. We need to have that anchored in our souls. Anchors in our souls for the days ahead. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I asked Hannah to look in our hymnal and see if "Because He Lives" is in there. Some of y'all know this hymn. It's actually in this book. It's in the old red book. What number was it? Hannah's not in here. Yeah, Hannah, what number was it? Huh? 375. It's not in the black. You don't, no need to look in there. We done look. But I thought I'd take a moment. Now, 375 is all the way my Savior leads me. What is "Because He Lives"? You don't know. Well, this is going to be a real cute chore. I have to take my glasses off. Did you know they moved the font down to practically nothing in the indexes? They moved the font down to practically nothing. "Because He Lives" is number
238.
238. That don't mean a thing in the world, y'all. It does mean something to me because I've got to read him. 238. If you know it, sing with me. If you know it, sing with me. It's a beautiful hymn because it in some ways emulates this passage, only slightly, but in some ways he speaks of this passage. It goes like this. It's a gloriously wonderful truth. It's a truth that we should have before our eyes every day. Because I live, he says, because he lives, I shall live also. May God bless you. Let's bow our heads and hearts. Father, we're on the threshold of a new year. 2024 is about to dawn. Lord, as we look forward unto it, there'll be a lot of happy new years in the next several days. I'll say many, and probably many of us will say many. But Lord, the only reason that it's a happy new year unto us is because you live. Lord, you're the very reason that we rejoice in one day to the next, to the next. Lord, we'd ask that you would bless us in life. Lord, help us to be blessed in knowing that you are our lives. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new unto that man, that woman, that boy, that girl. Lord, please make us yours this year. And Lord, fill us with your Spirit. May we worship you with all that we are for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen. I don't know how much time I gave you for a coffee break. Let's see. I gave you bunches of time for a coffee. Bless you. Lord bless you. You can be dismissed right now. Thank you for being here today.